Here in this verse, we read that Rehoboam makes these shields, and here it says that these shields were kept in the entrance. And each guard holds a shield, and he stands watch over the entrance of the king's house there. And so if anybody wanted to storm in, they'd have to get past 300 men with some shields. Or if somebody was just happened to be visiting the king, first thing they see as they walk in are these 300 men holding these big shining shields. The shields show power, position, and protection. There's just one problem with these shields. And that problem is, those shields were fake. They were fake shields. See, if you look back in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, in verses 15 and 16, it says, "And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold, 600 shekels of beaten gold went to one target, and 300 shields made he of beaten gold, 300 shekels of gold went into one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon." And then over here, back in chapter 12, in verse 9, just before the verse we read, it says, "So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house." These shields weren't the real deal. You see, the shields were originally made of gold, but when the real thing was taken, Rehoboam decided that the best course of action was to make some brass ones. Now, why would Rehoboam do that? Well, clearly it's because he doesn't want to lose face. He doesn't want to look bad to anybody else that might be looking at him. So he thought nobody would be any the wiser, and he makes some brass shields because from a distance, brass looks a lot like gold. From a distance, brass will shine. And the only way you can tell the difference between the gold shield and the brass shield is if you get familiar with it. And these days, everybody is so obsessed with who's real and who's not. Who's keeping it real? You hear it all the time. Somebody will tell you something. "Man, are you for real? You for real? Are you playing me right now?" Or on Instagram, you see some of the kids out there today, they put the Instagrams, "keeping it 100, fire emoji, I don't know. It's if you ever see this thing, it gets crazy. Everybody is obsessed with who is real and who is not. Except for one group of people, I find. And that group of people is Christians. I feel every day, as time goes on, Christians take this realness, if you will, and they set it to the side. They put it on the back burner. It's not in the forefront of their mind. So I Googled the differences between brass and gold, and would you have it, Brother Gilbert? I found myself an outline. Right there was an outline, a list of differences between brass and gold. All I had to do was try to make it spiritual. So that's what I'm going to do. Is I'm going to tell you the differences between brass and gold. And before we jump into these points, I want you to remember that while I might be saying brass and gold, what I'm really talking about is the differences between a Christian who's real and a Christian who's not. A Christian who's being a costume Christian, they're just playing the game because they're here in church and everybody's watching, and then somebody who actually stands for what they believe. A costume Christian. The first thing I want to bring to your attention is real gold has what is known as a purity rating. A purity rating. It is a mark showing you that what you have is real. So I'm going to open with the question. What do you guys have to show? What do I have to show? Do you have a testimony of what God has done for you in your life? Something about you should say, "What I have is real." So when people look at you, they know that you really believe in what you've got. There has to be some type of a mark, some type of thing that when the world sees you, they know you're different. When the world sees you, they know you've got something they don't have. You see, everybody in here has a story. Everybody in here has a story. If we took the time and everybody got up here, everybody can tell you where they're from, what they were like in school, everything. And if you don't have a testimony, all you've got is a story. You see, a testimony is something that centers around God, His grace, or His mercy. And a lot of Christians, they have a testimony of, well, you know, I got saved at this point in this time, and it changed my life. And then as time goes on, their testimonies just kind of turn into stories. I can tell you story after story about the stupid things I did as a teenager. But my testimony is how God has used me ever since I gave my life to Him. If your testimony doesn't center around God, His grace, and His mercy, then all you've got is a story. I'm talking about a purity rating here. Something about you, something you can say that God's done in your life. A lot of Christians' testimony, it just stops at, well, I got saved at this age. Testimonies aren't supposed to stop there. Amen. Testimonies are supposed to keep going about how God not only saved you, not only God is in you, but how God can work through you. Amen. There has to be something about you that's different from the world. Second thing that was on this list, brass reacts to acid. Here's a direct quote. One way to test for gold is known as the acid test, wherein one puts a drop of nitric acid on the object being tested. If there is no reaction, then the object is pure gold, whereas other reactions usually signify gold plating or other substances like brass. The object needs to be tested. Now, if you've spent any amount of time in church, I see a lot of familiar faces, so I'm going to assume that a lot of you guys have been in church for some time. If you've spent any amount of time in church, you're going to hear testimonies after testimonies and messages after messages about God testing an individual. God tests what He owns. God is going to test you, and when He does, the fakes will be revealed. The fakes will be revealed. They don't pass the test. You may just have gold plating. Do you understand what I'm saying? You might come to church and you might look the part. You might look good on the outside. But the moment God starts to test you, that's when people start to see who you really are. That's when people start to see what you have on the inside. I grew up in church. I learned how to talk the talk really fast. But it wasn't until a later age when I decided to get serious about God and what He's done for me and what He can do for others. Not until that point did I start passing some tests. God is going to test you. And there's a lot of Christians out there and Christians in here that won't pass the smallest tests because maybe they won't get rid of that one sin simply because they don't want to. And they hold on to this thing and they pretend that they're right with God and they pretend that everything is fine and dandy when on the inside, really, they're just putting on a show. And they don't let go of these things and God tests them. They fail the test. Something happens in their life and the first person they get bitter at is God. The first person they're mad at is God because it's just not fair. And there's one thing I've learned is that life is fair in the sense that it's unfair to everyone. And God's going to put you through some things. God, if wants you to grow, and He does, and if you want to grow, and you should, you're going to have to go through some things. The individual will be tested. When you sit back and you think about it, Brother Dennis, it's kind of silly that somebody will trust God with their soul and where they will spend eternity, but they won't let Him put His hands on the smallest things in their lives. Somebody will trust Him with something so big as in saving them their souls from hell, but when it comes to the situation at work, no, I got this. I have to be in control of this thing. When it comes to, well, this one thing over here, I've got to be in control about it. I'm not going to go ask God. I'm not going to talk to God about it. I need to be in control. And sometimes when you get tested, those things fall apart and the first person you get mad at is God, because it's just not fair. God is going to test you. There has to be a testing period. There has to be. Now the third thing. You guys know me. I'm not a very long preacher. I start off short in the... But that's just, it's really a trick. See, I start off with short points in the beginning, and then they get a little bit longer and longer and longer. Before you know it, you're like, man, how long have we been here? Third point. Tarnishing. Gold will not tarnish. Over time, after exposure to air, brass will tarnish. You're going to come across some people who seem to be great people. Some of you might even look up to these people, and you count on these people for help. And after time, for what seems like no reason, they just quit. They just quit. And it might look like there's no big sin in their life. Seemingly, it seems like there's nothing wrong, there's no problem. But maybe they just got bored, or maybe they're discouraged. And for whatever reason, this person that you held to high esteem just isn't around anymore. There's a young man in our youth group back home. His name's Earl. And I pray for this individual every day. You see, our youth group, most of the teens go to the same high school. But there's two boys, Earl and Jacob. And if you would, please pray for them. They were in a serious car accident yesterday. I won't get into detail, but they go to a different high school. And they're the only ones. See, some of the other kids, they go to high school, and when the kids are picking on them for being Christians and this and that and this and that, and they've got their youth group at school with them to encourage them. But Earl and Jacob, they go to a completely different school, and they're the only ones there. They're the only ones that's standing up for Christ. They're the only ones carrying their Bibles. As a matter of fact, I think this is crazy. Earl goes to school in a suit and tie every day because he wants them to know that he's different. And I know that it wears on him. I know that day after day, he gets a little bit discouraged. And I pray for him every day. I try to encourage him because he's called to preach. And he feels sometimes that when his youth group's not there around him, when he doesn't have that youth group, when he doesn't have that body of people to encourage him and help him, he feels sometimes like he's the only one trying. And sometimes that'll happen to a preacher. Sometimes that'll happen to your parents. Sometimes that'll happen to your children. Sometimes that'll happen to the very persons you don't think it could possibly happen to. Tarnishing. Over time, they just kind of fade. Over time, they're just kind of not about it anymore. My pastor over at Faith Baptist Church, he's been pastor there for at least 30 years. And if there's one thing that I never expect him to just not feel like coming on a Sunday. He's been faithful for as long as I've known him. He doesn't even like going to preach at other churches if it might cause him to be gone for a Sunday. He doesn't like to leave the church. He's faithful. He's faithful. You see, gold doesn't tarnish. Do you understand what I'm saying? Faithful people don't just quit. Faithful people don't just quit. You know, without a doubt, and somebody's in your mind right now. Somebody, there has to be at least one person you go, you know what? He's real. He's real. Pray for that person. They're not untouchable. They're not untouchable. Right. Over time, without the encouragement, they're not inhuman. Over time, the devil, the world, the flesh will continue to beat them down. Pray for them. Pray they don't fade. Pray they don't tarnish. Pray they don't fall to the wayside. Because it can happen to anybody. And if it can happen to some preachers that I know, some men of God that I know it can happen to me. I know it can happen to you. And you might be sitting in here going, no, it's okay, it's okay. Be careful. Be careful. Be not ignorant of the devil's devices. Be careful. The fourth thing here, fourth way you can tell the difference between brass and gold are the marks that they produce. See, brother, this is easy. They gave me an outline. A Christian had to have written this article. I had to have been. The marks they produce. When scraped against a ceramic surface, gold will leave a gold mark, whereas brass will leave a black one. They each produce a marking. Take your Bibles, turn over to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read some familiar verses. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 17, it says, "Even so, every good tree bringing forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Flip over to Matthew chapter 12. In verse 33, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." What kind of fruit does your life bring? What kind of marking are you producing? Is it good fruit? Is it evil fruit? Is it a gold streak or is it a black one? You see, being fake doesn't just affect you. It doesn't just affect you. Here's why I'm going to try and explain this. Say an individual walks into, maybe it's a teenager. This is Youth Sunday. I'm going to preach to the teenagers. Teenager, when there's a youth activity, and you show up with a bad attitude, and you show up with some kind of evil spirit, I'm not saying you're out there doing all kinds of crazy things, but if you show up and you're being fake and you've got a bad attitude, I guarantee you, I will put my life savings on it, it's going to affect someone else. It'll affect at least one other person in that activity. And before you know it, everybody's kind of in a bad mood. Everybody kind of just, I don't even want to be here. This is stupid. I don't want to play these games. You understand that when a preacher gets up to preach, he should have, and I assume he does, he spends the time to study what he believes God will have for you guys. That's Brother Dennis. I tend to study and figure out what God wants me to preach. Up until about 2 days ago, I had about 4 different messages, and I had no idea what I was going to preach. I just studied them all, and I figured God will pick one. I believe God picked this one, and it's up to me to come prepared, stand behind this pulpit, and try and help God's people. So when a youth leader gets up to preach to some teens, or when the pastor gets up to preach to the church, and somebody comes in with a bad attitude, somebody comes in grieving the Holy Spirit, it will affect at least one other person. And if the preacher gets up here and believes that he's got a message for somebody in this auditorium, and you come in with a bad attitude, how do you know God doesn't want you to hear the message? Amen. How do you know that God doesn't want the person you're affecting to hear the message? Amen. And that thing will spread. I've seen it happen. I've seen a teenager come in, and we're just playing a good game of volleyball. Just having fun. Well, we haven't even gotten to the preaching yet. And he'll come in. I don't even know why I got to be here. Saturday night, I could be doing something else. Playing Xbox. Or hanging out with my school friends. Why am I even here? And that'll affect the next person. And it might be a good kid. It might be a good kid. And that person will get a little testy. He'll be like, why do you gotta have such a bad attitude? Now you've got two teenagers at odds with each other, messing up the whole entire youth. If you guys don't think it's that serious, you're blind. And to a bigger scale, if somebody comes into this church on a Sunday and the pastor's up here preaching and you've got a bad attitude, I'm just here because I got nothing better to do on a Sunday. I'm just here because, well, I've been coming. Might as well come. I don't even know why I'm here. I'm not even going to listen. And somebody will see that and it'll affect somebody else. You won't even realize you might be ruining somebody else's week. You might actually mess somebody up for an undesignated time in the future. All because you didn't come with the right spirit. I'm not saying you're coming in here and you're convincing another individual to go out drinking. I'm not saying you're coming in here and passing out rap CDs to everybody in church. But I believe there was a story where Jesus walked up to a fig tree. And it didn't bear any fruit. And he cursed that tree. He cursed that tree. And if you come in here with the wrong intentions, or if you come in here with no intentions at all, than to be a blessing and maybe worship God and get something from God, you can single-handedly mess up an entire church service. You can single-handedly mess up the entire message. One person just being maybe cranky because they had a bad week. Maybe they're just upset with somebody because somebody said something and they just weren't. Why would he say it like that? It might not even been a bad thing they said. But why do you say it like that? You're reading into things and it'll mess up the entire thing. Don't tell me it doesn't happen. I see it all the time. What kind of fruit are you producing? What kind of marks are you bringing for Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church? Do you leave a bad taste in people's mouths when you walk by? Do people look at you and go, oh, I know what that guy is. I know what he is. He says he's a Christian, but I mean, he's just a fake. I mean, he might look it on the outside, but I've seen him at work. I've seen the way he acts. If you walk around with a bad attitude and you're so bitter all the time, why would any lost person want what you have? Why would any lost person want what you have? George used to tell me all the time, sometimes the only Bible anybody will ever read is you. Sometimes the only Jesus anybody will ever see is the Jesus in you. And if you're walking around like this all the time, with a scowl on your face, you're walking around all the time, nobody's seen you crack a smile in ages. Why would they want anything to do with what you got? I wouldn't. I see Christians all the time. I wouldn't want the Jesus they got. I don't know about you. They're singing "If You're Happy and You Know It." I'm clapping my hands shouting amen. That's what Jesus did for me. Sometimes we just sit in church. I don't know. I'm not really feeling chicken today. I don't know. And that's what you'll do. You'll come in here and you'll mess yourself up. You'll mess everybody around you up. You'll be a distraction to those behind you. You got to understand that it's the preacher's job to come with a message. It's your job to come with the right spirit. Some Christians think they can just come, sit down in the pew, bless me, I dare you. But you have a job. You have a job to come with the right spirit so that the Lord can move through and do something in a church service. Do you realize how amazing a meeting could be if everybody came and they were already right with God? Can you just imagine the things God could do if everybody that came in had everything right? They had all their ducks in a row. They were good to go. Man, you could spend the entire meeting. You could spend the entire day just worshiping God. And man, it'll get on. People will be shouting, running the bases. Everybody will be enjoying the Lord. But how many times you go to, maybe it's a week-long meeting, and the first 3 days are spent with, please get your sin right so we can enjoy the Lord. You've got a job to produce some fruit. You've got a job to have the right markings about you. Fifth point. This is my last point, and then I'm going to have a closing. Told you, I keep it short. And I gave my secrets away. Anyway, one of the first and quickest way to tell the difference between gold and brass is density. Gold weighs more than brass. Now, when Rehoboam makes these brass shields, And they're not the gold ones anymore, but he makes these brass shields thinking nobody's going to be any the wiser. Who do you think were the first people to realize the shields were fake? That they weren't what they used to be? That's right, my brother. The ones holding the shields. There's 300 men, so day one, they pick up that shield, and immediately they might be coming in and be like, oh man, I can't wait to protect the king today. Because they like to do that thing back in the day. They like to protect the one that was in charge. Men used to like to do that. Now people are taking shots at the preacher all over the place, and you'll just sit there and listen to it happen. But that's a different message for a different time. So the shield bearers walk up, and they'll pick up these shields, and the first thing they realize, wait a minute, this isn't right. Why is this thing so light? This thing is flimsy. It's not as thick as it used to be. It's not as dense. How am I supposed to stop an attack? And you come in here with a brass shield, thinking everything's going to be okay, and the moment the devil attacks you, you're going to be thinking, man, I wish I was real. I wish I had that gold. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, it's talking about the warrior's armor. And I believe it's verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Right? The shield of faith wherewith, I'm butchering this, all up. Wherewith, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Right there in verse 16 it says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. How's your shield? How's your shield? I'm asking blunt. How's your faith today? How's your faith today? How's your shield? You see, on the outside, it looks shiny. You keep it nice. You hold it high. Got my shield. And everybody will walk by and be like, there he is. He's got his shield. I can always count on him to be standing there with his shield. But I'm not the one holding your shield. The only shield I'm holding is my own. And you might be standing there holding a shiny shield. It's brass, but it looks like gold. People might look at you and say, he's got it. He's real. He's good to go. And the moment the devil attacks you, it's not the defense you need. It's not quite cutting it. It's not stopping the devil's attacks. How are your shields? I'm not holding your shield this morning. Some of you might be holding on to some fake brass. And I just don't understand how you expect to defend yourself from any attacks from the devil. It will not stop an attack. Just like if you're holding on to some fake sense of spirituality, to look right in front of everybody around you, when the devil attacks, or when God tests you, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. You might got that gold plating. On the outside, I look good. Man, I dressed the part. I'm looking good. I memorized two verses this week that the teacher told me to memorize. I'm going to forget them in 3 days, but I remembered them last night so that everybody will stay off my back. You're being fake. You're being fake. You might sit in here. Let me tell you this. Motivation is a big factor. If you come in here and you do things for the Lord, but really it's just to keep your parents off your back, you're wrong. If you come in here and you say, Pastor, I'll show up and I'll help you Saturday, and you're just doing that so the pastor doesn't give you a stink eye one day, so the pastor doesn't think you're just some lazy church member, if that's the only reason you're doing things, you're wrong. You're wrong. Motivation comes into account. If you're doing things for men, to be men pleasers, and you're not doing it for God, you're wrong. There's no way around it. You're wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. God will use you in spite of yourself, but you're still wrong. You're still wrong. You got to be real. You got to be real about what you have. Brass doesn't cut it. I'm going to say it again because it needs to be drilled into your heads. Brass doesn't cut it. Being fake doesn't cut it. The entire world is obsessed with people who are real. The entire world, there's one thing I've learned about the world and following this political campaign. If there is one thing I've learned, people want to be lied to. They just don't want to know they've been lied to. People want to hear what they want to hear, whether it's right or wrong. They don't want to know whether it's right or wrong. And you'll be walking around acting all fake, and everybody else will love the fact that you're real, but it's time to get serious. It's time to get down to the nitty-gritty and find out what's holding you back from being real for the Lord. The whole world is obsessed with real people. They want real people. Man, I keep my circle small. I've only got a couple friends because they're the only ones I trust. And you want to know why? Because nobody's worried about being real anymore. Everybody's just fine with being, I look good on the outside. That's good enough, right? But it's not good enough. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. There's two things I want you to see about this verse, and then I'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll read verse 5. Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. First two words, examine yourselves. You have to know whether you're being real or not. So many Christians have tricked themselves into thinking that their brass is enough, that they're okay with their brass. They're going to get by with their brass. But like I said before, brass doesn't cut it. I understand that sometimes it can be difficult to stand up and be real to everybody on the outside. I understand that sometimes the world, the flesh, and the devil can be very daunting. It can be very intimidating. I know that it's easy in the church to say, I love the Lord, and it's much more difficult when your boss checks you on it tomorrow. It's easy at youth camp or at youth meeting to say, I'm going to stay pure. It's much more difficult when a boy or a girl you are infatuated with says, give me your purity. It is easy at the church to say, hallelujah, amen, and praise the Lord. It is a whole lot less easy, if you will, to keep your mouth clean when you're on the basketball court, somebody's fouling you, and you're tempted to cuss. It is easy to sing the songs of Zion in the church pew. It's a whole lot harder when you're in the friend with your school friend and say, I won't listen to that nonsense. It's easy to pray on a Wednesday night when you've given a prayer list and a designated prayer time. It's a whole lot harder when the pressure of the naysayers are watching you. It's easy to do the easy thing. It's easy to look right here in the church. It's easy to look like you've got it all straightened out when all these people are sitting here looking like they got it all straightened out. It's harder when the world looks at you and they want to see something that's real, and you've got to be the real thing they're looking for. All these difficulties will rise and face us, and we tend to think that our brass is good enough, and we continue to live our lives being fake, fooling everyone around us, including ourselves. Over in Genesis chapter 32, you don't have to turn there. Jacob's wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord looks down at him and says, man, I'm paraphrasing here. I'm not reading a weird Bible, I'm paraphrasing. Angel looks down and he says, man, let me go. And Jacob says, no, not till you bless me. What does he ask Jacob? He says, what is thy name? And for the first time in Jacob's life, he's honest. For the first time, he says, my name's Jacob. And that might not, from that, when you don't really think about it, that doesn't seem like a lot. He's just telling the angel what his name is. But they, I mean, let's be honest, the angel knew what his name was. He's saying, what is thy name? He says, my name is Jacob. I'm a trickster. I'm a liar. I'm a prankster. I'm a supplanter. Jacob is honest for the first time in his life about who he is. And when he's honest, do you guys know what happens? He's honest to the angel of the Lord, and what happens? Changes his name. He gets blessed, and he changes his name. He says, your name's Israel now. If you want God to do something for you, if you want God to do something through you, you better be honest about who you are. You can lie to everybody, and I will believe you. I don't know you guys that well. You can tell me anything. And I'll go, well, okay. I have no reason to believe that you're lying to me. But you can't lie to God. You can't lie to God. You can lie to Daddy. I'm Esau. You can lie all the way around. You can trick everybody around you. But when God says, hey, who are you? You better give the right answer. You better realize what God's trying to get your attention with. Only then can God use you, bless you, do something through you. You got to be honest about who you are, what you're about, and your standing with Christ. In this, another part in this verse, it says, prove your own selves. Prove your own selves. You can talk the talk. Anybody can talk the talk. What I'm preaching on are those who can walk the walk. You know who walks the walk? Champions walk the walk. Oh yeah, champions walk the walk. You ever see a UFC fight? Both people walk in prideful, but only one of them's got the belt. Only one of them's got the record. Both of them walk in, they got their music pumping, I'm going to beat this guy so bad. The contender's sitting here talking all this trash, and everybody's going, well, is he going to back it up? Champion comes walking in, talks some trash, but everybody knows. Everybody knows who he is, what he's about, what he's capable of. Champions walk the walk. They don't just talk the talk. As much as you say you've settled on it, as sure as you say you are of it, as much as you say you'll never change it, as convinced as you may be that it is a done deal, when there is a price, somebody will offer it. When you're not settled on it, somebody will get you to move on it. When you don't truly believe in it, somebody will get you to compromise. Now listen to me, I'm not saying it's going to be today, I'm not saying it's going to be tomorrow, and I'm not saying it's going to be next week. But there are some things that are very dear to us, and moreover, very dear to the heart of God, that are going to be challenged. Those things will be brought before us, we'll be placed in a predicament where we're going to have to do more than just say it. We're going to have to show it. We're going to have to stand for it. And one day, we might even have to be slaughtered for it. I can't predict it with the way this election is going. I don't know what's going to happen in the legal system. I don't know what's going to happen with the freedom of religion. And I don't know what's going to happen with the freedom of speech. The church is about being silenced. It's almost silenced for preaching against homosexuality in order to keep our tax-exempt status as a church. We are on the brink of being silenced for it. I don't believe it's far around the corner. The difficulties for the men of God and parents disciplining their children and marriages and their redefining in which God leaves no gray area to define. I believe that everything we believe and are used to be is about to be shaken and changed. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I cannot change the legal system. We cannot change legislation. We cannot change what has become trendy and faddish. We cannot control the changing of culture. But what you and I can do is this, is we can rise to be cemented on our biblical conviction and our stand for God and let the world know and the flesh know and the devil know and each other know and our enemies know and everybody around us know that I will be serious about my stand for Christ. There are a lot of things that you can change, shift, and move. There are a lot of things that are shifty and sinking in the sand. But there's one thing I know. There's one thing I've made up my mind on, is that I will serve the Lord. Won't give in, give out, give up, put up, or shut up. Because God has planted me. And like a tree by the rivers of water, I shall not be moved. Because it's not just a phase. It's some things are not for sale. And when it comes down to it, I am real. Amen. I'm real. Test me on it. I'm real. Amen. Check me out. I'm real. Look at the purity rating. I've got some things God has done for me. Over time, I'm going to stay. I do not want to quit. Check me on it. I'm real. All of those differences between brass and gold, they will go on and they will go on. And at the end of the day, if you just want to ignore everything I've just said, at the end of the day, you cannot argue with this. Gold is just, it's worth more.
Amen.
Gold is just worth more.
Amen.
Sure, brass might look nice sometimes, and it might get you by for the day. And it might look okay. When it comes down to it, I can look back on all my friends I've had in the past, and all my family, and I can look back and I can think of some funny times that happened. I can look back and I can laugh about some things that we did, some mistakes we made. I can laugh about some certain things. But when it comes down to it, the friends I have in my life that are serious about the Lord are worth so much more to me. They're worth so much more to me. They're worth more. You can laugh about all those things you did when you had the brass. Memories are made. I'm not saying memories can't be made. What I'm saying is the memories that God gives you, the people that God puts in your life when you're being real about some things, those are worth so much more. They're worth so much more. The Christian life can be hard enough as it is. And some of you will come in and you will put out the work of a Christian, yet on the inside, you're being fake the entire time. You'll come in here and be miserable, but have a smile on your face. You'll come in here, everything's good to go, got my whole life in order, but on the inside, everything's falling apart. It's time some of us get real about some things. I know that the Christian life can be hard enough at times. But why would you put in the work and not be real about it? You see, if you're real about it, you can enjoy it. And you can get the blessings from it. Motivation counts. So if you're real and you may, I want to do something for the Lord, you think God's going to overlook that? But if you come in here and you're just doing things to keep people off your back, you just come in here and you're just trying to get by because you're tired of hearing the harping. You're tired of the preaching preaching at you. You're tired of the conviction. You're tired of all of it. You're tired. Let me tell you this. When I was a teenager and I wasn't living right, Samson Ryman would come talk to me. This is how he did things. He wouldn't ease into anything. He would walk right up to me in front of everybody and say, "Hey, David, how are you doing today?" And I'd say, "Good, I'm good, I'm good. What's your problem?" "What are you talking about? I just said I was fine." "No, you're not. No, you're not." He would call me on it so fast. So fast. I thought I was good. I thought, man, I went into my closet and I pushed all my worldly things to the side. The things that I had been wearing all week. And I'd reach out and grab this little box, pull out my little Christian mask, and I'd put it on and I'd go to church. And I'd go to church and I'd be wearing my Christian costume. But I wasn't fooling God. God spoke to my youth pastor's heart, and he said, "You better go check that boy." And right there, embarrassed the fire out of me in front of the entire church, in front of all my friends, he'll say, "Hey, what's wrong? Why aren't you being real? Why aren't you in your Bible like you used to be? Why aren't you singing like you used to sing? Why do you walk around with this scowl on your face?" And sometimes it takes somebody to call us out on the way we're living. Because if they don't, we'll just continue life thinking our brass is fine. Sometimes somebody's got to call you out on it. And then, once you get it right, once you get it straightened out, once you get a hold of that gold and you let go of all that brass, God will do something for you. God will do something for you. I promise you, God will do something for you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. But Dennis, if you want to make your way up. Dear Lord, thank you for today. I thank you for this story in the Bible, dear Lord. I thank you for these things that you've opened up the Word of God for and you've shown me, dear Lord. I thank you for giving me the opportunity after I had been playing the game and acting a fool that you gave me an opportunity to get it right and get serious about you. And dear Lord, I pray that you'll help this church know that I'm not out here to attack anybody. I'm not out here to make it my goal to offend anybody, but I want to see somebody get some help. Dear Lord, because I know the path that being fake can lead to. Dear Lord, I don't want to see anybody go down that path. And I pray that if there's somebody that's in this building and you've been speaking to their heart about it, I pray that you'll give them the confidence, the gumption to come down and get it right with you, dear Lord. I'm not looking for any praise, dear Lord. I just want you to be able to work. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll help Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church be real about what they say they believe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.